Also bring you greetings this morning in Jesus' precious name. I had to think as Brother Jeff was sharing there in the children's lesson, he asked the question, what if there would be no youth here? No. There'd be a lot missing in our lives. But I had to think of this. What if there'd be no mothers here? No. Have we ever stopped and thought what it would be like without a mother? What it would be like without your wife in your home? There'd be a lot missing. There'd be a lot missing. In Genesis chapter 2, if you could turn there, I want to speak about motherhood this morning. I want to give honor where honor is due. And this is the day that we're going to honor the mothers, womanhood, by God's grace. In Genesis 1, we read of the creation, how God created the heavens and the earth. And He saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And then in chapter 2, we read of how He formed the woman. If we could break in there in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And I thought about that a little bit as Adam was formed out of the dust of the earth. The animals were all there, and the birds were all there. The trees and the bushes, the grass, the fish were in the sea. Everything was complete as far as nature, what God had made. But as far as Adam was concerned, not everything was complete. There was something missing. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Adam was alone. Verse 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And this verse follows the one where God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And God brought all of the animal kingdom before Adam to see what Adam would call them. And it appears like God was watching to see Adam's response to each one of the different kind of animals, birds, and so forth that would come by. And Adam named them. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Adam was alone. He did not have someone whom he could confide with. I don't read that the animals spoke at that time. I don't think they did. We don't read about it, but evidently Adam was not finding the fellowship and the companionship he was desiring. He may not have been able to share his heart and his life with the animals. There was none of those animals that he could share with, that would share back with him. There was none of those that he could have fellowship with. There was none of those that he could have for his own. They were not like him. And Adam, I believe he began to feel more and more alone as he named the animals, and when he was done, there was none there that suited him. There was none there that could be a helpmeet for him. None. I think my life would be very, very lonely without a helpmeet. I can say this morning that I don't feel worthy to have a godly wife, a godly helpmeet. But I want to say that God has blessed me with a godly wife, a woman who has blessed me all the days of my life. I want to thank God for her. But Adam, he did something about that. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall. God did something about that. He caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof instead. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. We read here of how God made woman. We spent the day this week down in Washington, D.C. I was just thought of this as in the children's lesson, as they shared about, family verses and songs, they shared about the builder, the architect, building a tabernacle, building great big buildings. And, we looked at the buildings there in D.C., the state capitol, and all the masterpieces of design that are in that place, and how it's formed, and how that it took many years just to come up with a plan, just to come up with a design for that big building there. And it took many, many more years to make that building, to build it up. And as we stood inside the dome there, looked up, I had no idea how high it was. I think they said it was like 180 feet. Didn't look that high, but it was very, very high. And we, there's some admiration that we can give to the work of those artists and those builders. But there is no comparison. That's no comparison. That a woman is not to be compared with that. Think of what God made when He made woman, the master builder. He went, He formed a creature. Adam called her woman. He formed a beautiful creature, a helpmeet for mankind. And that is her calling. That is a woman's highest calling, to be the helpmeet for a husband. That is what God has called her to be, the helpmeet. Motherhood. The honor that is given to president and great men today isn't to be compared with the honor that a woman should have. Children, honor your parents. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Love them. Children, this morning, do you honor your mother? Do you love your mother? Do you bless your mother? Have you told her so? Have you told her you love her this morning? Have you told her that you love her? You should do that. You should honor her. She should be honored. It's a great thing to have a mother. It's a great thing to have a mother. It's a wonderful thing to have a mother. Give her all the honor she deserves. Mothers, you're special. I'd rather have a godly mother and a godly wife than to go shake hands with the president. I'd much rather have a godly helpmate than to shake hands with the president. I think of the privilege that a mother has. She has many glorious privileges that great men don't have, that the president doesn't have. There's no comparison again. She has the privilege of bringing children into the world. That's a privilege, a great privilege. She has responsibility. Yea, the responsibility of bringing children into this world, eternal souls that will never die. What a responsibility. To bring a soul into being, to bring a soul to birth, give birth to a body and a soul that will spend eternity somewhere. That is a great responsibility, mothers. And I know that you know that. But we want to think about a few of those things. The blessing of motherhood, many joys, many privileges that great men don't have. You have a wonderful position, a mother in the home. It's an honored place to be. It's an honored calling of God to be a mother. The women of the Old Testament, be barren was one of the greatest curses for them. Motherhood was greatly desired and should be desired today to be a mother. There are many joys in motherhood, and I shouldn't be the one speaking. I should let the mothers speak about that. There are many rewards for mothers, many blessings. You have a beautiful calling, mothers, sisters, young girls. Never despise motherhood. Never despise your mother. It's a beautiful place in the kingdom of God. I thought about the nature of a mother. What is the nature of a mother? Is it not to give, to reproduce herself, to bring forth children? The nature of a mother is to give. As I thought about it, it's to give and to give and to give and to give. She gives up her time. Mother gives her time. She spends a lot of time. She gives her time to her husband. She gives her time to the children. She puts a lot of time in washing, cleaning, scrubbing. She puts a lot of time into baking, cooking, dishes. It seems like her whole life is a life of giving of herself and giving of herself. She gives herself to her husband. She gives herself to her children. She gives herself to the neighbors. She gives herself to the hungry when they come by, the stranger. She gives her time. She gives her nourishment. We have a 6-month-old baby in the house, and my wife just gives and gives and gives and gives again, and gives again, that little baby. She's giving nourishment. She's giving life. You want to be a mother, young ladies? Learn how to give, and give, and give, and give, and give. That is where you will be the most blessed. That is where you'll be the most fulfilled. You will be fulfilled if you learn to give and give and give. A mother makes room for others in her life. She makes room for her husband. Gives him the time of the day. She's there to make his breakfast. She's there when he leaves for work. She works hard all day and she's there when he comes home. She has supper waiting for him. She has room. Her whole life revolves around her husband and his desire, her family, her children. That's her whole life. She makes room in her life for children. She's not selfish with her husband. She makes room in her life for children. The first child comes, the second. She makes room for the third and the fourth. And as many as God gives, she always has room for one more. And even when the house is full, she makes room for the stranger. She makes room for the homeless. She feeds the hungry, gives drink to the thirsty. She gives and gives and gives and gives. God bless you, mothers. She has time for her children. She gives little thought to herself. She'll wear herself out for others. She'll wear herself out meeting the needs of her children and her husband, because that's her calling. She's one of the last ones to go to bed at night. And while the children sleep soundly, the baby cries, she's up at night. Again, she's giving. And then she's one of the first ones up in the morning. She's there when you wake up, children. She's still there when you go to bed, right? She's up a lot of the night while you sleep. That's your mother. A wonderful creature. My. What God wrought when He made woman. Fathers, do you realize that? Do I realize that? A marvelous creature indeed. The woman. A godly woman. There's not all women are that way. There's the worldly woman. There's the foolish woman. She tears down her house with her hands. Her job is more important than her husband. Her work means more to her than her children do. When babies come, they're in the way. She might take 6 weeks off of work. She puts the baby with a babysitter. Her friends, her clubs, her tea parties mean more to her than her children or her husband. The daycare center takes good care of the babies. The babysitter comes in the evening. Preschool, kindergarten, through school. She's out at work. She's doing her job. But that's not my mother. That's not a godly mother. But she's unfulfilled. That one is unfulfilled. She's not happy. She's a very unhappy, unfulfilled creature. Because she's not where God would have her to be. God wants the mother to be at home. Keepers at home. Children, what if you had no mother? Think about what would be missing in your life. No mother to wake you up. No mother to make your breakfast. No mother to wash your clothes, wash the dishes. That'd be a very lonely, lonely life, wouldn't it? Thank God for your mother. Thank God for your mother's children. Mother is there to give direction. She's there to take care of your skin, knees, and pull the spinners out if Daddy's not there. She's there to put the bandages on. She's there to wipe away your tears. Mothers are wonderful creatures. God made a wonderful creature when He made a mother. Hallelujah. A godly mother will love her husband unconditionally. And what that means simply is this, that she will love her husband even if he doesn't match up. She will love him in spite of his mistakes. She'll love him when he's thoughtless, when he's unkind, when he doesn't give her cards, doesn't bring her flowers. She'll still love him. The godly mother will. The godly woman will still love her husband. She loves him unconditionally. She loves him if he doesn't perform right. And the godly mother, she will also love her children unconditionally. She will love everyone the same. She will not have favorites. Favoritism is sin. To love one more than the other is sin. It's sin. But she will love them all the same. However, I read a poem one time which I thought was very good. I wish I would have it this morning. It's been years and years ago, but I remember it somewhat. The thought of the poem was this, that his mother had numerous children, and it seemed like the children were wondering and asking which one that she loves the best. And she went on to say that as this one child came to her with a skinned up knee, and the child asked, "Mother, which one do you really love the best?" And she said, "It's you that I love the best." And then one came and something else was wrong with that one, and he asked her, "Mother, which one do you love the best?" And he said, "I love you the best." And so it seemed like she loved the one the most that needed to love the most. And when one was gone for the day and wasn't at home with the rest of them, she loved that one the best. That's not being partial. That's loving the one that is not there. That's loving the one that needs the love at that time. She loves her children unconditionally. That means she loves them even if they don't obey right. Even if they don't perform properly. She'll still love them. That's the kind of love God has for us. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us in spite of who we are. The godly mother, she will serve her children without demanding pay. She'll serve her husband without pay. Is that right? How many husbands here pay their wives for their services? Let me see your hands. None. Not one. It doesn't even enter our mind, does it? Does it enter your minds, mothers, to ask for pay? It doesn't, does it? Yes, I hope not. Shouldn't. So what is her reward? What is a mother's reward? It's not money. It's not physical things. It's a satisfaction in the heart that you're doing what God is calling you to do. It's fulfillment. It's fulfilling the calling God has called you to do. It's seeing your children walking in holiness. There are many rewards of a mother. Praise God. A godly mother toils uncomplainingly. Do you, mothers, are you complaining? Do your children ever hear you complain? Nag. A godly mother whose heart is in being a helpmeet, she'll meet the needs around her without complaining. She's on call 24 hours a day. So she's there when you need her. She's at home. She's dependable. I come home from work, I know she's there. Come home for dinner, she's dependable. Dinner will be there. A godly mother will also exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we have high expectations of having an hour of prayer and devotion. We lift that up really high here. I wonder how many of our mothers can fit that in. But I would not have you be condemned if you don't fit it in, mothers. You give and you give and you give all day long. Your whole life is a sacrifice to God. Everything you're doing can be done as unto the Lord and can be a perfect, beautiful sacrifice unto God. Every day of your life. It can be when you do it in the right heart, with a cheerful, joyful attitude. That is what God is asking. That is what God wants, is a helpmate. Let me ask you this. If you're not fulfilling God's call, if you're being complaining, if you're you might be having your 1 hour devotions in the Word, but spending the rest of the day in complaining or in unhappiness or not doing your part in the home, not being that helpmeet that God has made you to be, which is more pleasing. All I want to say is that don't be bound. Or don't be condemned if you don't have that 1 hour of devotions that we lift up so high here. And I mean that. But rather see your whole life, every day, your whole life is a devotion to God. You are fulfilling your role. You are fulfilling a role as a mother. And by God's grace, you can do that with joy, with a song on your heart, on your lips. And that is the best sacrifice you can bring to God, is fulfilling that calling that God has called you to do and to be. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. And God is well pleased with that kind of a sacrifice. Amen? Amen. That is how you will exalt Jesus Christ. Yes, you will pray. You will sing. You will teach your children to pray, to sing. You have a strong desire to see your children walk in the Lord. Like in 3 John it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And as I think deeply upon that, I ask the question, who is she speaking of? Who is this mother speaking of? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now the children that are in my home, I can see them. And I can see that they are walking in truth or not. I can see when they err and go astray. I'm there with them. But here, this may I say that this may be a picture of a mother whose children have gone out, whose children have left the nest. Left the home. And she doesn't see them every day. But every once in a while she hears of them. And her greatest joy is to hear that her children are still walking in truth. When they've flown out of the nest. And I thought of this as I meditated that a woman, a mother, she raises her children, gives herself for 20 years to this child, to the children, day and night. And then she lets them go. There's not many men who would pour their lives into a business for 20 years and then just give it away and let it go. But a mother here is expected, this is what's expected of her, to pour her life into the child, into this baby, and as it grows, she pours 20 years average into this child, and then she gives it away. She gives her daughters away to a young man. She cuts his apron strings and lets him go. 20 years of daily sacrifice, daily giving, only to just give away. In a sense. But yet, they're still the children. Turn to Psalms 45. There's much that could be said and read about mothers. But I want to bring another aspect into it. As I thought of all these beautiful qualities of motherhood, the character, her nature, as I thought of all those things, I thought of the church. The church is, like it says in Galatians 4, it says that, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And Jerusalem, there is the church of Christ, the body of Christ, and we know that the church is sometimes likened to as a mother. And the body, the local body, that the church here should have basically the same character qualities that a mother has. There is a deep desire within a mother to bear children. You just need to spend a little bit of time with a barren couple or a barren woman. And there is an unusual strong desire to bear children in them. It is their daily thought. It's what they meditate on continually. It's what they wrestle with continually. Why hasn't God given me children? You can read about it in Genesis. Jacob's two wives, Leah and Rachel. Rachel was barren. And oh, she wrestled with that. You can read about in 1 Samuel, Elkanah's wife, Hannah, was barren. It was the utmost desire of her heart to bear children. And so as we look at the church, the local assembly, it's the church that is to bear children, the mother of us all. I ask this question already. If God is our Father, we are His children. Who is the mother? The mother is the church. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says that as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. That's a promise. If the church of Jesus Christ does not travail, will souls be born? But the promise comes, it says this way, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth children. And if we as a local body, If we have the nature and character of a mother, which is to bear children, then that will be one of the desires and the drives of the church, is to bear children, is to bring others into this kingdom, is to see other people be born into the kingdom of God. That should be the heart. It should be the very nature of the church, because that is the very heart and nature of mothers, is to bear children. And once those children are born, then what does the mother do with them? She nourishes that child. She takes care of that child. She nurtures that child. And when a soul is born again by the Spirit of God, it should be the very nature and character of the church to gather around that soul, to nourish that soul, to nurture that person, to bring them along, to feed them the milk of the Word. And that's the nature of a mother, and that should be the nature of the church. One of the accusations that came to me when I was first saved was that people couldn't understand why I wanted others to come and be a part of what I was experiencing. And they said, you want others to follow you because you don't want to be alone. Well, that's not true. There, I was experiencing the nature of the church. I had a deep desire to see other souls be won into the kingdom of God. And I still have that desire. I went fishing yesterday, by the way. Praise God. Got a call. I was underneath the deck, on my belly, crawling around underneath the deck, and someone called. They brought the phone out, passed the phone underneath that deck, and I was laying down there listening to this fellow. It's a man I did a job for years ago. He said he has some insulation he wants me to come and pick up. Well, I don't use insulation much, and I don't have need for it, but I went. He's about 70 years old, and during the course of the conversation, he told me he got back with his wife again, his other woman he was living with died and so on. And I began to understand why God sent me out there to pick up some insulation. A hurting couple. His wife, they got together again, I guess, and I mean they're selling the stuff out of the one house and going to move together into his trailer now. Just deep hurts in her life. And you know, there's such an overwhelming desire in my heart to bring forth children. To bring that old couple into the fold of God. And I was able to share Jesus Christ with them. Praise God. The church will nurture the babies when they're born. Does a mother know when a baby is born? No doubt. Does the church know when the babies are born? She should. There is rejoicing when babies are born. There should be rejoicing when babies are born around here. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalms 45. And I studied this and meditated on this. And there's some deep things here I just want to try to pull out here in the last few minutes. Psalms 45 is, my heading says, the majesty and grace of Christ's kingdom, or of the church. May I say that? My heart is indicting a good matter. The writer here, by his opening words, he was meditating. He was thinking about something. Maybe he had a picture of something, but he was thinking upon something good. He's meditating on something good. What is that? I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. He's speaking here of Christ's kingdom, the majesty and grace of Christ's kingdom, or of the church. Look at what he says. Thou art fairer than the children of men. You are more beautiful than the children of men. And when God looks upon the church, in His sight, she is more beautiful, more precious than the children of men. What is more precious than the souls of men? What is more precious than a child, one soul, a man, a woman, even when they come to Christ? What is more precious than that? May I say it this way? It's the church coming together. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Grace. Verse 3. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. What is the sword of the Lord? It's the Word of God. The church is to take the Word of God. Gird it upon your side, O church. O most mighty. Most mighty. The church. It is the most mighty force on the earth. Man has tried for many years to stop it. Man cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. Satan has tried to stop it. Satan cannot stop the church of Jesus Christ. O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. My, that's a lot. In thy majesty, I believe that if we as a church, the body of Christ, could take our rightful place in Christ Jesus, if we would understand the position that has been given to us, if we'd understand the power that has been given to us, the grace, the truth, the meekness, the righteousness, if we would truly understand that, we would walk in the majesty of that. We would ride in the majesty of that. We would prosper because of those things. If we don't understand our position in Christ as a church. In thy majesty, ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. Are you doing that? Are we the church doing that? Do we understand our place and position in Christ? Are we riding prosperously? Are we taking the rightful place? Are we experiencing all that God has for the church today? He's exhorting us to ride prosperously because of truth, because of meekness and righteousness. And the right hand shall teach thee terrible things. There's many deep things here and I don't see them all. But I like verse 5. As I was talking to that older couple yesterday, 70 years old. It says, thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. And this is a picture of the arrows, shooting arrows at the enemies and scoring victory there, the people falling under them. But I liken it unto the arrows of the Lord working in the heart of someone that I'm talking to. What a joy, what a blessing to know the power of God's Spirit just by sharing the Word of God. That couple yesterday, I could see the hunger, the desire, the longing for deliverance from sin. And the Spirit of God just seemed to settle down over that woman especially. You know, lips quivering. The arrows of God are sharp. The Word of God is pure. Verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Where does God dwell? Thy dwelling place, O God, The place where you are resting, the place where you sit, the place where you dwell. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And where does God dwell? God dwells in the hearts of His children. God dwells in the body. The throne of God, may I say, in the church, is forever and ever. He will dwell with us forever and ever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Those verses are quoted again in Hebrews, speaking specifically of Christ. But let's apply them to the church this morning. The church loves righteousness and hates iniquity, hates wickedness. And because of that, therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee, church, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Because you love righteousness. There's much more that could be said on those. God anoints thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Kings' daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. Speaking of the individual daughters, maybe, king's daughters. Are you the king's daughters this morning? He goes on to exhort you. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. It's more important to be a part of the church of Christ than to hold on to your family. Literally is what he's saying. Forget your own people. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord. Worship thou him. If Christ is number one, then the king will greatly desire our beauty, the beauty of the church. Does God have my undivided attention? Does God have your undivided attention? The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. And this is very deep. Just a few thoughts I got from it. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. We have something that is not to be compared with the riches, the wealth of this world. But even those people who have lots of money, they look at us and there's a longing in their hearts of the peace and the joy that we heard about this morning. They will entreat our favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Speaking of the church, the king's daughter, this is the church, is all glorious within. Everything within that body is glorious in the sight of God, having been made white. How? By the blood of Jesus, every one of us. Her clothing is wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. Here we have a picture of this bride. Like it says in 2 Corinthians, I have espoused you as a bride unto God. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. And we as the church, we are to be pure and holy, a body that is made precious, is made white by the blood of the Lamb. The church will be brought unto the king someday. We know a little bit what it's like in a wedding when the bride is given to the groom. Likewise, the church will someday be brought unto the King and be given to Christ. We are His bride. She shall be brought unto the King in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought with thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the King's palace. I think that's all further I'll read, but the church is to be like a mother. Her desire is to bring souls into the kingdom of God. Her desire is to raise up those children, to teach them, to train them, to nurture them, to disciple them, watch them when they try to walk, you know, when that little one gets up and tries to walk and falls down. The mother's watching. She's making sure he doesn't get hurt. He might bump his head a few times. He'll cry. But she's there. She won't let him touch the hot iron. She won't let him fall down the stairs. But she'll let him get a few bumps. Because he needs to try. And likewise, we also allow. In discipleship, we allow the disciple to try, step out. Make some mistakes? Yes. It's not a problem. Just like children. And so we as a church should have the heart of a mother. Nurtures her children, who protects those under her wings. I thought of that this morning, just in the ending here of this little message. I want to give time for maybe some mothers to share this morning. I'd give time for some of the children to share. Some of the fathers, husbands to share. And bless the mothers today. Can we kneel and pray before we close? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for mothers. We thank you that you've made us, made a helpmeet for mankind, a helpmeet for the man. Thank you for each mother here. I thank you, Father, that these mothers are keepers at home. Oh God, our homes would be so empty and confusing if our wives would not be at home caring for the children, raising up a godly seed. Thank you, Father, for godly mothers. We pray that you'll give our wives grace to be an example to all of our children, especially the girls, that they may also grow up to be godly mothers, to be the helpmeet that you've made them to be. Father, would you further bless this service? Thank you, Lord, for your word. Teach us thy ways, O Lord. We do love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Reading a few scriptures from Proverbs 31, still, starting in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. You have a virtuous woman in your house. You have something that's worth far more than a truckload of gold, yes, rubies, or whatever. I have one at my house, and I thank the Lord for her this morning. I know that many of you also have one in your house. Praise the Lord for her. Thank God for our virtuous wives. I received a phone call a few weeks ago, and it was from a sales lady. And I guess I'm looking at these sales calls a little bit different than what I used to, using them as opportunities for ministry more than maybe shutting them off right away. And she was asking me some questions concerning not sure how it all began, but she got to the subject of where we work or what we work at our house. And I explained to her that I work at home. And then she wanted to know what my wife works. What does Nelaine work? And I said, she's my wife. And she said, oh, okay, she doesn't work. And I said, you got it all wrong. She works. She works more than I do. And I proceeded to tell her all the things that my wife does. And how I'm so blessed with my wife. And all these things that she does for me. And all the things that she does for the children. And just had a long list of things for her there to share with her. And then all was quiet. And then she said, I wish my husband would think like you do. But there's many women in the world that are out in the world. Many of them, their husbands want them there. They want the money more than they want a virtuous woman. They don't understand the principle of this verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? It's worth far more than any money she could ever earn. So God bless you, sisters. Thank you for working at home. Thank you for raising our children. Thank you for keeping the house. God bless you. I want to open it up for anyone to share. Mothers, sons, daughters, husbands. And open up and share what the Lord has pressed upon your heart this morning. Does anyone have anything on their heart to share? Open up front here.
I wish my mom were here to hear this, but she's not here. But I was thinking about my mom as Brother Emmanuel was sharing. That's my mom. Always, always giving. When I think about Christ, I think about my mom. That's who she reminds me of. I'm so challenged so often when I look at her life. So selfless. Just giving and giving and always for someone else. It seems she never has time for herself. Oh, I love my mom. I've got the best mom. And I praise the Lord for her. And thank you for that message, Brother Emmanuel. It was such a challenge. Such a challenge for me to honor her. And I've been praying to the Lord that I feel that's where God has me now, to honor them. And I want to honor my parents with everything that's in me because they deserve it. Thank you.
So some of my thoughts this morning too, as I thought of my mother. I had to think of my mom at home. Growing up, there was many children around the table every day. And of course, shoe fly pie was a specialty at our house. This soft, warm shoe fly pie, we all just enjoyed it so much. Always got hard around the edges. Mom would eat that part. All us children would dig into the middle. That was Mom. God bless you for sharing. My mom was like that too, just a sacrificial mom. Anyone else have anything to share? Brother Denny, in front here. Is the other mic somewhere?
Yes, well, I thank God for the message this morning, and I wish my wife were here to hear also. She's at home being a mother. Little David has the chicken pox, so she's not here this morning, but we thank God for a godly wife and a mother watching over our home. And I thought also, you know, I was writing a chapter on motherhood just yesterday in my book. And I thought of this as I was writing it, Brother Paul. When God calls a man to be a prophet, He gives the prophet the anointing of a prophet. And I thought, you know, when God calls a woman to be a wife and a mother, He also gives her an anointing. The anointing of a wife and a mother. And that anointing comes in giving and giving and giving and giving. And I just want to encourage all you dear mothers here this morning that you do have a high, high, high calling. It is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for you. And there is a powerful anointing that flows from the throne down to your life when you give yourself to that calling that God has given you. So we do thank God for all of you mothers.
Amen. Was there another one somewhere? Anyone else that is wanting to share?
Oh, there's a lot in my heart right now. I'm not sure what all to say. But as I was listening to the message this morning too, my thoughts went sort of from my mother to my wife, back and forth some. Thinking of my mother, she had 11 children to take care of, of which I was the oldest. And it's taken me some years having children, having a wife with children around me to remind me of some of the things my mother did that I just took for granted. Mm-hmm. She didn't know the meaning of quit. You know, things got rough. It was just, Mom just kept on going. Sometimes I wonder how that must look to a mother. Yeah, when, especially when there's a lot of little children in the house. That just seems to be no end to the things to be done. And if you have a real little one, even the nights give you no rest. There's getting up at night. And any lady who calls and says your mother, your wife doesn't work, has no clue.
She has no idea.
But I was also reflecting a little bit on my lack of appreciation for my own wife. I just want to confess that I have not appreciated her for the blessing she's been to me. My children never lacked. As I look back in when they were little growing up, she took care of every detail of their little lives. I have tendency, even today, to be very self-centered and thinking much more of my own needs than I do of my wife's. She's very forbearing with me. Today, as by the way, is our 23rd wedding anniversary. So special to us. It's also the 12th anniversary of the first time we ever set foot in Charity Christian Fellowship. Mother's Day. Remember it well. So I just thank God for my wife.
God bless you, Tim. What year did you say it was for your anniversary? 23rd. Is there anyone else? Another one in the front here? In the front.
Well, my heart is full. Hardly know where to start. So many things to share. So many good things the Lord stirred my heart in this morning. I guess I'll start with my own mother. Some of my earliest recollections are of nestling up next to Mom. God made mothers with an especially nice lap to nuzzle up on too. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, Dad tries to hold a little baby. It's just is not quite what Mom holds a baby. The lap just fits just right. And I just have many precious memories of my mother. She read to us evenings Bible stories. And I can remember those Bible stories. But my mother's gone to be with the Lord now, quite a number of years already. But I thank God that I had an example of a godly mother, like Emmanuel, as you shared, just serving, serving, giving, giving. She was the last one to quit in the evening, first one going in the morning many times. Then my mind goes, of course, to my wife, that God has blessed me with a helpmeet who is just like that, continually serving, giving, and supporting and blessing our home. What would my life be like without my wife, or our home without my wife and my children's mother? Mothers, you play such a very important role in the home. And I just want to bless my wife and bless all of you mothers today. I don't think you realize the high calling and the depth of what God has called you to in our homes and the stability that it brings. And I want to just also bless you sisters in this church here, that God has given you a vision for motherhood and to be keepers at home. I'm so grateful this morning. I'm not in some church trying to be a shepherd and giving direction to mothers who want to just itch to go get a job and all of that. I just bless God, and I want to encourage you. God bless you as you look to Christ and fulfill the calling. And I believe too, as Brother Denny shared, God gives an anointing with the calling. And so we thank God for you, godly mothers, keepers at home.
Amen.
God bless you. And to my dear wife, God bless you.
I was thinking when Emmanuel was asking how many of us pay our wives, I was thinking after that, well, how much would it cost me to pay somebody to do what my wife does? I've been talking with a man just yesterday about similarly along that line, and so I was thinking that way already. And how much would we have to pay?
Couldn't afford it, could we?
No.
24 hours a day.
I mean, how much would it cost for a truck of rubies, truckload of rubies? Mm-hmm. I couldn't even afford a truckload of dirt. You know? And yet God gives us rubies. Isn't that like Him?
Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord. Amen.
And just what you shared there about the woman on the phone, you know, I was thinking how we need to feel sorry for the women in this country. It's easy to look at the feminists and be critical of what they're doing. They are in rebellion against God. But to realize why they're doing it, I believe that the reason is that years ago, men joked about women's work and joked about how, you know, putting down women and putting down what they did. So the women said, well, okay, I'll do something that's better. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a prayer that we would never do that here. We would never make light of women's work. I still am blessed every time I open my drawer and find socks in there. I lived by myself for several years as a single man. That still blesses me. So may we continue to lift up our wives and mothers. They're worth it.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, brother. One over on the sister's side here. Daniel, one over on the sister's side here.
Scripture comes to my mind that has been very precious in Isaiah. I'm not sure where it is. It says, shall a mother forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Jesus is better.
Thank you, sister. Maria?
I just want to bless my mom for all she's done for me and all the influence she's put into my life, and for persevering even when she wonders when I'll ever grow up.
I feel unworthy to be a mother because for many years I did have a perversion of what a mother is, even though as a mother I wasn't out in the workplace, but my heart was to be a working mother. And at this time I've been in a point in my life where I'm on God's table where He's chiseling those things away. I needed a new vision. Thank you, Emmanuel, for sharing that today. It seems like the last couple of weeks I've lost my way. I want to be what God wants me to be.
Thank you for sharing, Etta. God bless you. Anyone else? Sister Edith.
I thank the Lord that I still have my mother, Annette. She's here with me today. And I want to bless her before y'all. Thank the Lord that I have a mother that loves the Lord. And I thank the Lord for all she's done for me many, many years. I was the oldest of 11 children. And for the values, many values of life that she has taught me. And I just want to bless her and tell her I love her. I appreciate her very much.
Anyone else? I need to share something. If you want to share away, maybe you can get your hands up a while. The other mic is over on the other side. Go ahead.
Just when whoever that was mentioned the verse about she is worth far more than rubies, I thought of that other verse about where her children will arise and call her blessed. And I just wanted to stand up and bless my mom.
Amen.
She was talking to me about a month or two ago and said, we have two Davids in our house. And I want my Davids to grow up and be men like David in the Bible who are after God's own heart. And I want to be a man like that, that she can be the Mary that the Elizabeth looks up to and says, blessed are you among women.
Thank you for sharing. God bless you. Is the mic over here somewhere? Okay. You want a mic in the front here? In the front row.
I would also like to bless God for my mother this morning, for all that she's done for me in my life. As I look back, she's done so much for me, and I love her for it, for everything, for giving her life to God, so being such a godly example for who a mother is. And she's not only my mother, but she's my friend and a sister in the Lord, and I bless her so much for being my friend.
I also want to bless my mother today, and especially in the area of prayer. If it hadn't been for the prayers of my mother, I don't know where I would be. And I just want to give her all the honor that is due to her.
Praise the Lord for mothers. Was there anyone else? Are we finished? Let me read yet some in Proverbs 31. A mother and a wife, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Thank you for doing that this morning, brother. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her own hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Thank you again, mothers. God bless you, each one of you, as you continue to raise your children for the Lord, be a godly wife for your husband.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.